This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. A happy rainy Monday. Saturday was great. We had that going for us, which is nice.
I got a little sunburn on the old dome.
Say what?
Yeah, out at the kids' soccer game.
Did you win?
No.
Oh.
I mean, you started out great. 4-0 lead at halftime with my kid in the goal.
Oh.
And they lost 6-5.
Oh, no.
She didn't play goal in the second half.
See? Yeah. It's the rust magic. You know, just like on this radio program here, when rust is in goal, nothing gets by you.
Mm-mm.
Nothing gets by you.
Brick wall.
Same thing to go in old soccer there. Except for when it does get by you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, sometimes it does, but nothing gets by you.
It's the off-speed stuff that just trickles in.
That's Ron, what I'm talking paying about. Attention?
Nope.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. It was, you got a little sunburn. You got to make sure you protect that beautiful dome of yours.
Out there at the old power line park.
Oh, you're right near on Saturday?
Yeah.
We're right next to each other. We had
every game is at that park this season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I was right there. We had field day. Yeah, this was field day. You clean up the fields, right?
Yeah.
My back is busted.
Yeah.
My back is busted. But
spinal.
That field is in perfect shape.
Mm.
For an easy grounder to come and to get booted across the diamond.
There
you know
go.
What I'm saying? Like, it is in prime condition for some booted balls to be around.
Doctor said I need a backy out of me.
Yeah. I took that and I just rolled it in, you know. Sometimes you just get in that, you know, you get in the groove. Like, I was like, all right, you know, I just dug out about 9 months of overgrowth here on this infield.
Oh.
I'm feeling good, you know. Took it. Back to the home. We have a TV in the garage. As I think that you're doing your garage right if you have a TV in there.
100%.
It went from field day. I watched the final four while puttering around and cleaning out the garage. How do you get so much crap?
Oh.
Dude, it just is like, what is this?
Tried living in the same house for 22 and a half years. Yeah.
Dude, like, you just walk around, you're like, what?
Yeah.
It accumulates.
Why do we have this? What is this doing here?
We can barely walk in our garage.
When was the last time this was used? So it was a lot of...
Yeah.
That is one of top five rewarding feelings. I it sucks when you're doing it.
We don't have a garage. We just have the carport, but we have, so when the house originally was a very tiny house, but they built this extension on the back of it where the laundry room and like another back door was added in, like just a whole extension. It's probably about the size of this. Yeah. About the size of this room. And that'll be
great for the people on radio.
But yeah, you can understand it.
Yeah, it's like 8x10 jail cell.
Yeah, as they say at least once daily on the Colin Cowherd show. Apologies to our radio audience.
Yeah.
the reason you know that it's an expansion is in the kitchen. There's a window into that room.
You know what? I am so glad to hear your home is just as weird as you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we get a lot of windows into your kitchen, and sometimes you won't get out that kitchen.
Yeah, no. So it's, here's the other thing. We don't have a hood in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so when I cook, the only window I can open is like one of those teeny tiny sliders above the sink, because the window that would go outside goes into that room.
Oh.
Doesn't really do anything. And that's the laundry room.
Okay.
So the last thing I want to do is drive my wife crazy because what the problem is the smell when I cook.
Yeah.
Because it's peppers and onions and all kinds of spices and there's no boiled chicken. And so she doesn't want the clothes. So it gets so ridiculous. She will go close the bedroom door when I cook.
Oh, all right. Hey.
She's like, I don't want the bedroom to smell like good, I guess.
Yeah, what's wrong with her?
I don't understand it. But yeah, so we don't have a garage, so instead our crap piles up in that room.
Oh, but that's better than a garage, because the garage is just more out of
more
sight,
space.
Out of mind,
yeah.
And it's more space. Like, yeah, but so I like what you guys got going there.
But even then, like, we have we've dog crates.
Mm-hmm.
We bought them because when we first got the first dog.
Sure, dog crates, huh?
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Uh-huh.
What's that swing over there?
Bring out the gimp.
Russ had to whisper that as if, like, by the way, Russ' children are here today.
Yeah.
As if they're not right outside listening on the radio. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm sure I'll get that question later at home. Dad, what did that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Time to turn on Pulp Fiction.
Oh, God. Yeah, but the... That's
who's Zed? Zed's dead, baby.
Zed's dead, baby.
But the I walked by them the other day, and I'm like,
no,
those haven't moved in 3 years.
No, get rid of them.
We need to get rid of this. Here's what will happen: is like we'll go on a trip, and the in-laws will take them. Like, hey, do you have a crate?
Yeah,
and I'll go.
But you know what? That's when you go. It was not used for 3 years. We had to get rid of it. Yeah, and that's the thing. As this text on the fan text line, the best way to get rid of crap, move. Once you start boxing things up, you very quickly reevaluate whether it's an item truly useful or not. Yes. I don't want to move ever again, though.
Yeah, no.
That's my thing. I'm done with this moving thing. I'm done with it. But a sunny day, it brings out a far more productive me, you know?
Yeah.
And so we have grass in the front, and so... started patching the grass up there, you know, laid some seed. Now I am on bird duty. Those birds come in, they just try to eat your bird seed. So I got like a stack of rocks swinging their way off my lawn. And this is why the progressive commercials speak to me.
Mm.
I am at that point in my life where I am turning into my parents. It's terrifying, but I'm embracing it. It needs to turn off every now and then. Because I watched the entirety of the Final Four in my garage. It was great. It was great. I actually enjoyed it. Family didn't bother me.
Yeah.
They were just like, whatever. I'm out there puttering around, throwing stuff away that my kids inevitably will be like, where'd this go? And I'll be like, I don't know. I have no idea where that went.
It's the garage gnomes.
Where do you guys stand on the outdoor TV?
I love it.
It's wonderful, right?
Yeah, we have
a place for it. Yeah.
We have an additional TV that in the summer months, like, it's so easy. I've routed a cable up, then it drops out, so I just have a cable that I can plug in. So if we're out in the back,
mm-hmm.
we can watch TV out there. We can hang out outside. A little outdoor TV is good. It's not a permanent one, though. It's an indoor TV I just bring out, and every night you just got to unhook, lug it back in, but it's okay.
The
permanent one is a game changer.
I'm doing the backyard this summer, and it's on the table.
Well, it should be.
But I gotta push the wife for this, because she says, you know, well, the whole point of, like, being outside is to, mm-hmm. like, you know, kind of just be outside. And I'm like, mm-mm. You know what I do for a living, right?
Yeah. No, what you do is you just do it, and then ask for forgiveness later. Because
we're going to do one of those, like, nice gazebos. Little concrete pad with a gazebo and a little station.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, you know, do I spend the money on this?
Yes, you do. Mm. Yes, you do.
The great news is she doesn't listen, so we can talk about this.
Yeah, no. The hard part with the gazebo, because I'm assuming standalone out there, where do you wiring then becomes a problem?
See, I've already got, because of the studio,
mm-hmm.
That's the great thing about that. That was originally like a tool shed, but it was fully powered.
Mm.
So they ran power underground to the studio, and I've already run internet and everything else, and then we just put the mesh Wi-Fi in for the whole property.
Okay.
And so the TV can run off
perfect.
The Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you're in. Yeah, this is where you just beg for forgiveness later.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Especially if I put the full-on, like, built-in barbecue out there.
Yeah.
I think she's going to gonna go for it.
Well, those outdoor TVs, those are spendy, too.
They are. That's the thing is, like, that's a line item that, you know.
You can.
I think I can hide it somehow.
I don't think you can.
I can, because I control the finances in the house.
What you
she
need
does
to
not
do...
ever look at it.
Oh, well, hidden. Done. The crazy thing
Babe,
is,
look what I found at Goodwill.
You can get a TV and you just build a weatherproof box, you know, plexiglass that bad boy in there. You know, you can do it.
A little DIY?
Yes.
There's probably a YouTube video out there.
There's several. Yeah. I've already looked into this. No. Yeah, it can be done. It can be done. All right. And then there's this text. I've had an indoor TV in my outdoor patio area for the last 2 years. No issues. Yeah.
I mean, as long as the rain isn't blowing sideways.
Yeah. Dude, you just got... figure this out. Yeah, you can do it. Okay. You can definitely do it. We have another one. Here's a great question, and this is... Look, sometimes there's just man questions that need to be answered. Random question. I was inspired to bust out the pressure washer during our sunny day on Saturday, and I ended up washing way more than I had initially planned on. My question, in the history of man, has any man ever set out to pressure or power wash and just stopped at his initial goal? It's like crack. Once I start, I just can't stop. No, you're right on that.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
Because, you're like, you know what I could do? I could do a little bit more. We got the front done. It is a... I'll watch videos of pressure washing.
There's a video
actually
game
doing it is even
washing.
Better.
You just sit there and it's like massaging your brain.
Yeah, you throw in, you know, the headphones and you just go to work.
Throw a podcast on and
yeah.
Hell, I started listening to books on tape.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah.
A learned man.
Yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
Look at the big brain on Brad.
Electronic books. What are you listening to?
Wife and I are watching that show Wheel of Time.
Okay.
And so I'm listening to that book.
Oh, all right.
Apparently there's a ton of them. So I was like, all right, I'll get into it.
Yeah. All right. Wheel of Time. You've told me about it.
It's a fun little show.
Never really got into it, though.
Not usually my bag, but...
It's on, what's that on?
Prime.
Prime. Yeah. Prime Video. Yeah. I mean, I just...
You don't find yourself on Prime?
I do.
Oh, do you?
Reacher.
Okay. Oh,
Reacher.
Okay. Yeah,
Reacher. Yeah, I do find myself on Prime. This is the hard part. Channel surfing, way more difficult now.
Yeah, in and out of apps.
I don't like it.
Yeah, oh, that's the worst part of it.
I don't like it.
That's the one nice thing is the new TV that we got, you can seamlessly bounce to the apps. Like,
see?
The apps are all on your remote.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy to get in and out of.
You need
of.
It. You need
it's
it.
Quite nice.
Yeah. The hard part about pressure washing, though, and this is for the amateurs out there. You've got to adjust your pressure. You can never go to never come out of the gate too firm with the pressure because you can ruin everything.
Oh, you can take a whole layer. Like if you're doing on concrete, you can take the whole top layer, like the finished layer.
Yeah.
It will disappear.
And this is not an all gas, no brakes scenario.
No.
Start further back, work your way in.
Yeah.
Don't start in and work your way back.
You got to work that nozzle, baby.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure that thing is not.
And avoid the tip.
Oh, man. It'll hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll hurt you. Yeah. All right. Well, we've covered a lot here.
Yep.
Now you have a ton of, look at this. All you got to do is mention it. Your outdoor TV has been covered on the fan tag song.
Yeah. No, it's
you've got
scary.
Options. Yeah. You know exactly what you need now. This is why the fan tag line is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Maybe later we solve this problem for everybody else.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, we can just say, hey, outdoor TV, this is a act first, beg for forgiveness later. All right. Everybody will benefit from it.
Indeed.
Everybody will.
Nice little hangout spot in the summer?
Yeah.
Mojito?
Yeah. Sure.
I grow my own mint.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right. It's right there in your backyard?
It's literally right there.
All right.
Less than a block away.
Okay.
Not even two blocks.
Not even two. It's right there in the backyard. All right.
And my wife got a little hanging garden right next to the barbecue.
Hey, how about that? Mm. It's fun for the whole family.
Make my own mint and jelly even.
Your palate.
This guy with his lamb and mojitos.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good summer day, let me tell you.
Yeah.
little lamb on the barbecue, little
you
mojito.
Know, it is.
I got no issue with the mojito, that's fine. But I just, you know, I think I'll just take the zero, teacher.
You don't like lamb, huh?
Mm-mm.
Oh, God,
mm-mm.
It's so good.
Mm-mm. Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, P1 Shane chiming in. Used to pressure wash my driveway as a kid, and one time I had the bare feet out, accidentally clipped the top of my foot, took the skin right off.
Oh, yeah, that's a degloving.
Wear shoes.
Yeah.
Wear shoes.
And don't wear the thin ones, man. Like that's boot time.
Yeah.
Don't wear like the Nike Prestos, like the mesh shoes or anything like that.
Yeah,
or
you got to get out there in your Red Wing boots.
Yeah, no, seriously.
That was good.
Yeah.
We got a new voice of Red Wing. Well,
Do
Danner now.
I would say throw on the Danner.
With the Danner boots.
Ooh.
Yeah. Get out there and maybe some Dickies.
Is that how you talk when you're driving your truck? Russ drives a massive truck, which is totally out of character for him. But you do.
Yeah.
Is that how you talk when anytime you're like at a drive up, you're like, hey, have the McDouble.
You got to be careful when you make your trips to Idaho now. They outlawed truck nuts.
What?
Oh, yeah. I almost used that for worst day on the web when you're out. They outlawed
I did see that. There's going to be a lot of angry people there.
Oh, God. In Idaho?
Yeah.
The truck nut per capita has got to be sky high.
But sometimes government makes rules to save you from yourself.
Well, you know, the Idahoans got to be jealous of us Oregonians, too, because they can't have the Oregonian sticker in their back window.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Ida hunting.
They're like, damn, it's wasted on the wrong stick.
Huh?
That's pretty good.
I'd rather be hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'd rather date outside the family.
Wow. Really? Just a stray for Idaho. As if we're some distinguished state over here.
Is it? I mean.
No.
I mean, when Boise is your super liberal metropolitan hub, or most liberal, but yeah, anywho.
All right.
The potato doesn't fall far from the tree. Guys, I know.
A lot of potato farmers very mad at you right now.
Oh, easy there, Wisconsin.
Yeah, very mad at you.
Very mad at you.
Oh, just going to squeeze right past you.
No, let's get this show on the road, shall we? We've got a lot that we got to get to. It's National Championship Day.
It was
in college basketball.
Banger of a weekend.
It was. Gino Auriemma got another championship.
Yeah, did they give him two for that win?
They won by enough. he's worried about parity in women's college basketball now being ruined. That's an actual quote from him.
Unbelievable.
Gino, I don't want to ruin this for you, bud. You've won like 12 titles since 2000.
Yeah, no, come on.
Hello, kettle. It's pot. You're black.
Yeah. But we have the men's title tonight, and then you've got a lot of NBA news and notes. Boy, I think the NBA does it right. Mm. They say no games tonight. We're going to let the stage be set for itself in college hoops.
Yeah.
That's a nice little tip of the cap. I think we have two games tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two.
So no good games tonight.
No. But what could happen between now and Wednesday?
Oh boy.
Carnage.
Yep.
Especially in the Western Conference side of the standings. We got that. But where we got to start this bad boy off, the hometown team, the Portland Trailblazers, they had a split over the weekend. That gets pushed to the back burner because general manager Joe Cronin has re-upped with a multi-year extension from the team. What does this mean for the Portland Trailblazers moving forward? Danny and Dusty on the Fan. The Portland Trailblazers have reached an agreement with general manager Joe Cronin on a multi-year contract extension to keep Cronin in control of the Portland Trailblazers organization. Now, we don't have details on how long this extension is for. All we got was a multi-year contract extension for Joe Cronin. Do you have how many years it is?
Yeah, but...
Yes and no?
Yes and no.
Yeah, all right.
I do, but...
All right. All right.
It gives the organization stability.
It does moving forward, and this is... There's a lot of moving parts here. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that aren't happy with Joe Cronin being retained as the general manager.
It's kind of crazy, I think.
I have been very critical of some of the moves that the organization has made. I've been critical of some of the things that Joe Cronin has said, including we are going to go after it post All-Star break and go after the play-in. But with that said, it's pretty ridiculous to say that what Joe Cronin has done has been a letdown as general manager, because I feel like everybody needs to take a step back when you have those feelings and remember what he took over.
Mm-hmm.
And what he took over was a team that contractually was an absolute disaster.
There was no cap space. There was no
draft assets. Nothing. Were all tied up, mm-hmm. and he's had to untangle that as well as he can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was in the middle of, right when he takes a job over and starts this transition, unloads guys like CJ McCollum,
Cove,
and as he's moving things along and moving things forward. Oh, by the way, the tentpole of the organization, Damian Lillard, requests a trade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that move, and you know this to be a fact, mm-hmm. that move was not tied to Joe Cronin personally or what he was doing as general manager.
No.
That wholly had to do with Damian Lillard at the point in his career, seeing the writing on the wall and going, if I want to get a title, I've got to do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You have also said that there may be some remorse in that from Damian Lillard and some regret on moving out of Portland.
Yeah, I mean, the Dame publicly and privately has said, you know, the grass isn't always greener. When he was here, when he would be asked about, you know, the stars asked out, he was like, remember the line that he had was that.
Yeah.
Look, man, it's the grass isn't always greener. I mean, he went from the face of this city and of the franchise and everything else to Milwaukee, where he's not.
No.
Life is different when you're in the number two. And Dame's one of the best to ever do it. Giannis might go down as a top 20 player of all time. Like, that's the nature of that beast. And he knew what that was, but...
And there's a difference between top 20 and top 75.
Yeah, there is.
No, you know what I mean?
Look, Dame will flat out tell you, like, Giannis is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's wanted to play with him for years. And he knew that. But you don't know what it is to not be the franchise guy until you're not anymore. And mm-hmm. so that part of it, I think he's like, oh, yeah, life is a little bit different when everything isn't built around you, catered to you. And it's not like about the ego stuff. It's just different, right? Yeah. And look, I agree with you wholeheartedly on the, like, what they chose to do after the All-Star break. I mean, I was the one that asked Joe about, you know, what are you going to do? And that's when he said, I'm not going to take the play-in off the table for these guys. And I was like, all right, not the way I'd go, but all right.
Micro and macro. The micro, there's always decisions that are made where you go, oof. The macro is, from a financial standpoint, this team is in a far better position than it was before. From a draft capital standpoint, it obviously is. And when you trade your franchise player, obviously that will help. And it's undeniable what they have done through the draft is exponentially better than when Neil Olshey was in charge of the draft.
Look, I get the you carry the water for the Blazers, blah, 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 blah. And it's not that. It's that Joe Cronin and his staff have done what I wanted them to do with Dame. They went from the least athletic, least explosive team in the NBA. This is not hyperbole. A lineup of Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Mo Harkless, Al Farouq Aminu, Yusuf Nurkic. Who's the big athlete in that? Mo? Yeah. Mo is the best athlete in that lineup. And don't get me wrong, Mo's a good athlete, but he's a guy that, I hate saying this, but he didn't love basketball.
Mm-mm.
He liked the idea of being an NBA player. That's what it was. Like, was he fine as a replacement level guy? Yeah, sure. I got no problem with Mo in that regard, but he was never like the guy.
Well, when you would get an engaged Mo Harkless, it was a different player.
But that was so few and far between.
Sure.
And that was the issue with it.
That was a big issue.
Now they have quite literally the biggest team in the league. They're incredibly athletic. Shaedon Sharpe is probably one of the five best vertical athletes in the NBA in the last 20 years. Denny Avdia is a 6'9", 245-pound wrecking ball. Scoot Henderson is a tailback. Donovan Klingon is 7'3". Tumani Kamara is a 6'8", incredibly good wing. Chris Murray, another like multidimensional 6'8" wing. Roops is another guy that you're looking at like, hey, he maybe could be a guy. He's also 6'8". Their team is huge. This is what I have wanted for years. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and I'll eat crow. But the reason that I'm like, that I sing Joe's praises is because he's doing the things selfishly that I wanted them to do. And the second they deviate from that, then I'll beat him over the head for it. But what they've done, what transaction that he has been a part of do you disagree with? The one that I get immediately is, well, they got rid of Norm and Cub for nothing. That was purposeful.
Yeah. But that was also tied into the financial mess that the organization was in untangling the S-web, as I've called it for years, that was created by the previous regime. Okay. You were going to take some losses in transactions.
Yeah.
Because it was so bad.
Because the goal was to clean the books.
Now, there is also, and there is some validity to the, well, you could have gotten more from Damian Lillard in that trade. That is true, mm-hmm. but you did right by the star, and you have continually tried to roll those moves over into moves that make sense and creating more assets for you.
The move that they didn't make is probably the one that's like most frustrating, and that's not moving Rob. And I get it. After being around Rob, I get it. But now you're seeing the injuries are going to probably preclude him from being a tangible asset that when you made the transaction originally, if you had flipped him immediately,
mm-hmm.
what that would have done for you.
Would have helped tremendously.
Because multiple teams would have been interested in Rob.
Okay. Now you move into, all right, what does this look like moving forward? Because although I can disagree with some of the moves that Joe Cronin has done on a smaller scale, the large scale, I think he has done a really good job of putting pieces into place that can be competitive. But this is where the next step, mm-hmm. it's got to change and it's got to be much better. We'll talk about that after Rust with SportsCenter. Joe Cronin is re-signed with the Blazers, agreeing to a multi-year extension as the GM moving forward. You can love it or hate it. In the big picture, he has untangled a lot. He has drafted well, developed well. Now, the big move is what is going to be next.
Yep.
And that, I think, is where a lot of the questions come with this organization. And if he's the guy that can pull that big move off.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is, May 12th, that's going to be a big day.
Yeah.
For the Portland Trail Blazers. Because if they don't jump into the top four, how do you make that big move moving forward?
And that's what's, well, even more interesting is May 12th has these massive ramp. For those who are wondering, it's a draft lottery, May 12th. So we're, what, a month and 5 days away? So basically 5 weeks from the NBA draft lottery. The Blazers are going to have to make a decision here. And so let's look at the timeline, right? I found it interesting that Joe Cronin was extended before the end of the season. As it stands right now, the last game of the season on Sunday, the plan is to have exit interviews following the game. So if you're wondering what when and how that's going to look, that's at least the plan right now. That's subject to change. But the main actors, the main players will go up there. I probably won't hear from like the two-way guys and maybe a couple of the other young guys. But other than that, and then Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups will do exit interviews. I find that a little surprising because I thought maybe they'd hold Joe out in case that they do the Chauncey Billups and the Portland Trail Blazers have agreed to mutually part ways kind of a deal. And then Joe would be able to address that a couple days later. They do the extension, all those kind of things. But with this being done ahead of time, I don't think it means that Chauncey is coming back. And through discussions with the people around the team, the door is at least open. They'll talk, which if you had asked me in December if that was a possibility, I would have said, hell no. It's on the table. But got to remember, Neil Olshey hired Chauncey Billups, not Joe. Neil was fired 2 months after he hired Chauncey Billups, and Joe took over as the interim GM. This is going to be Joe Cronin's first coach hire. Does he go with who he knows and who has been, I think, worthy of an extension? I look, you may disagree with me on this, but around the NBA, everybody is like, no, Chauncey's going to get another job. And if it's not here, I could very easily see him being the replacement in Phoenix for Budenholzer.
Yep.
Very easily.
Well, there's that rumor last year.
Yeah. So that would not surprise me in the least bit. But do you wait to hire your coach until you know kind of what ammo you have? So could there be this month period where, sure, they do a sit down with Chauncey, but does Chauncey want to wait around? And do other coaches want to wait around? Because the implications of May 12th are so large. Mm-hmm. Not just if they get, win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg, but if they go top four, or if they, they stay where they are, or fall back a spot or two.
If they jump into the lottery, the job gets exponentially more attractive.
It's another asset, even if they don't draft. Even if they, they opt to trade that, like they package that up with one of their young guys and one of their veteran contracts. You know, I think there's, there's a lot of different paths. The decision tree that comes out of May 12th has huge implications, not just for the roster, but also for the coaching staff. Like, if you, if you, let's say pie in the sky, you get Cooper Flagg. Who doesn't want to take that job?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, it is a very attractive job. If you get number one overall, you are tied to him. You are his first coach. That's attractive to a lot of guys. In, when you look at the young core of players that the Blazers currently have,
all of a sudden you see that trajectory going
up. It goes
up a lot.
Exponentially in that.
And that opens the door. Like, look, there's only 30 of these jobs in the league. But as we've seen across sports, coaches are getting more and more particular about what jobs they take, particularly in the NBA. And I'm not saying the Blazers are going down this path. Nobody wants to be Brett Brown anymore. Mm. Nobody wants to come in for the process and be the guy that takes 300 losses.
And that's where May 12th means so much.
And again, I think that the Blazers are heading in the right direction. But the difference between a truly ascending team and a team building towards something is different. Not only that, whatever coach does come in, let's say they move into the top four, or they just stay where they are in the lottery. They just finished ninth, okay? The questions you are going to have as a coach, and this is for Chauncey Billups too, because he knows these guys. And if you don't think these coaches are like that talk, you're out of your mind. So Chauncey will probably, whoever interviews for that job, will probably call Chauncey and go, give me the real. You know, there's what the front office is telling me. Tell me what the guys are telling you, okay? And they're going to want to know, okay, what's the plan for the veterans? What's the plan? Like, what trade do you have in place to make a move to keep us going? Those are the questions they're going to ask. It's not just the front office interviewing the coach and going, what scheme, what style, what are the things you're going to install? It's the coach is interviewing the front office and going, okay, what is your plan for the next 18
months? As it stands, the Blazers need to woo a coach, not the other way around. Not the coach sitting there and saying, hey, you know, I want this job. This is a great job, blah, blah. No, the Blazers are in a situation where they need to prove why it is a good job.
If you want the coach that you want. And that's the thing is, like, I think both front offices and coaches are both getting smarter about, don't get me wrong, there's still coaches out there that are like, I'll take any job. I'll take that bench job. But, like, is that the guy that you want?
No, it isn't. And this is also a layer to bringing back Joe Cronin, is that both the GM and the head coach were up.
Yes.
And you were going to be in a position where a lot of the organizations that are still playing and effective at a really high level, they're not going to have guys jumping ship midstream and saying, I'm going to bolt prior to the draft lottery and the draft process because their teams are still playing. Right.
Especially if your general manager is on a lame duck contract.
And this is where you go, I understand why the Blazers made this announcement now, why they are sticking with Joe Cronin moving forward, because they are still in the process of a rebuild.
Yep.
And they're not going to jump horse midstream. They're going to stay on the horse, get to the other side, and then that conversation can be had.
The macro results the ownership is happy with. And I'm talking about the roster building stuff, the accumulation of assets, the way they push things forward, the way the books look, all the whole holistic macro of it. Can you disagree with the micro stuff? Yeah, absolutely.
This is where Joe Cronin really needs to start making his hay here and pulling the weight. Is there needs to be a big move this offseason. Yeah.
The clock isn't ticking, but you're winding the watch.
That damn clock is about to expire in my mind and a lot of fans' minds, because they need to make a move. You can't just sit here and tell us about the veteran contracts and team-friendly deals. It needs to happen this offseason. It has
to make
a
move. I don't think you have to make the move right now.
And you and I will disagree on that, because I think they need to make a big landscape-changing move this offseason. And look, because how many more years of this? Are we just going to kick the can down the road and say, well, the time isn't now, or we couldn't find a partner to make a deal with? No, you got to make the, you have to find that partner and you need to make that deal. And that is what the role of the front office is to do.
I just don't think that in year three of a rebuilding process, when most, almost all of your roster is under 25, is when you have to make that move.
Yeah.
That move comes when the guys are 25.
But Jerami Grant, DeAndre Ayton, mm-hmm. Matisse Thybulle, like these guys that have all been movable part. You could throw Robert Williams in there as sure. well. These movable part, Anthony Simons, and mm-hmm. Albeit he is young still.
Yeah, but
what are you going to hold on to him until?
No. That's where we agree.
This is where you have to make a move proactively.
Yeah. 100% agree.
Before the value gets depressed, just like it's, Robert Williams.
It's a move, not the move.
I do agree it needs
to be a move of consequence. That I agree with. But it's not like you have to go get Devin Booker. Like, that's not, they aren't there yet.
This franchise has got to start showing that with everything we've seen this year, they have developed their young players.
Mm-hmm.
They have drafted well. Now it's time that you start saying, all right, winning is going to be a priority for us.
And again, going into next year, I think the goal should be the play-in.
Yeah.
That's the natural progression of this.
I am to the point where we went through the untangling of the contracts. We went through a hard reset. You've drafted, and if you're going to sit there and say that, well, that player wasn't available, that player could have been wholly more attainable had they not gone for it after the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, again, on the micro stuff, yeah, no, we 100% agree.
But that leads to, if you can't pull off a big move that changes the outlook mm-hmm. in the landscape of your franchise this offseason, then what are we doing here? I mean, we're just spinning our tires in mud.
I 100% agree.
Well, Joe Cronin's going to be the guy who's going to be in charge. Some of your feedback on the Fan text line, we will get that coming up next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. You can be a part of the show. Joe Cronin is going to be the GM here in Portland for the next at least handful of years, agreeing to a multi-year extension with the organization earlier today. And look, it's a polarizing topic because this is a franchise in the middle of a rebuild. And anytime you go through that, there's fans that aren't about that life and don't want to be about it. This is year three of a rebuild for the Blazers. Mm-hmm. And you are starting to see a lot of the rewards being reaped from the ancillary pieces. And we've talked about this at length. The Blazers have a bunch of role players that could be really good on a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that dude yet, though.
No.
And they need to get that guy. Some of the feedback that we're getting at 503-864-6326. This organization and their process when it comes to hiring and extending makes little to no sense. No real coaching search, no GM search, only as foolish as the wins this season.
I'll tell you right now, the air quotes coaching searches that happen in the NBA, they're not searches.
Yeah, they're already predetermined.
They're done.
Yeah.
They're like, the reason you heard Chauncey's name come up in Phoenix was because the players found out that it was going to be Budenholzer and they wanted a more player-friendly coach.
Mm-hmm.
It was done. And it was the same process with Monty Williams in Detroit. Ownership wanted Monty Williams, and even though they did a search, Monty told them no three different times, and the money just got so obscene. It was what, $15 million a year? That he was like, screw it, I have to.
If you have a true coaching search happen in the NBA especially,
mm-hmm.
it is because you're getting turned down.
Yeah,
I look at Jordy Fernandez in Brooklyn. And even that was one where they had an idea.
Yeah.
He wasn't their number one, but he was on their very short mm-hmm. list. And then they got told no. And then we're like, all right, Fernandez is our guy.
And Jordy's a hell of a coach.
He is.
Mark Daigneault, the coach of the Thunder, he was their G League coach.
Yep.
That glorious organization that everybody's like, oh my God, it wasn't a coaching search.
Yeah.
The coaching searches they happen,
yeah,
but they have a short list.
And when Joe Cronin was elevated from interim to the actual job,
mm-hmm.
it was not an appealing job league-wide. So he did a good job of untangling contractually the mess, and they trusted him with the rebuild. And look, again, we'll talk about this. You can argue the micro, the macro. He has done a good job holistically of getting this organization to a point where they should be able to make moves. They've drafted really damn well. They've gone out in the trade for Yusuf Nurkic in getting DeAndre Ayton to Portland. They got Tumani Kamara, too, and made him a part of that deal. Those are good moves. Denny Avdija trade. I hope everybody is now saying, yep, that actually makes sense. They gave up some, but they got a young player in return that's pretty damn good.
I went back on Friday because I'm doing my kind of season-long write-up on Denny, and I was looking at the tweets from that day. And boy, were there some bangers of some folks calling it the worst deal they'd ever seen, massive overpay, just horrendous, horrendous stuff. And I'm just sitting there going, boy, a lot of you missed this one by a lot.
He is not a star, but they didn't give up star freight to get him in return.
No, they got a really good player for a good cost.
All right. Russ, are you ready? Are you ready over there? Because we have a text. Can we get Russ' take in here, please? Start yelling for the rest of us who think this organization is a disaster. I love that if they get flag, we can continue to live in a fantasy land. How do you feel about this, Jeff?
Well, look, things have not gone the way this season that we would have liked, and I feel like some of the decision making in terms, especially late towards the end of the season, where the decisions that kind of kept us in purgatory here. Now, granted, he has made some good moves. You know, you had Donovan Klingon get drafted, and he drafted Scoot and Shea, and at the time, you know, the Scoot was the guy. He was the last of the top three that fell to you. So that was, you know, the right call there. And he's made some good moves, like you said, to get Denny Avdija. That one looks fantastic now. And I'm bringing in Tumani Kamara. I think he's earned it a couple more years. Now, if this parlays into another position, I'm not sure that I have quite the same sentiment in terms of having... I still don't think that Chauncey Billups was the right guy.
Oh, okay. All right. That was far less yelling than he asked for. All right.
Look, the whole, like, pitching your organization on 14%, it sounds great from the outside. There's a reason why teams don't want to do it. It's freaking miserable. And the likelihood is you were the Detroit Pistons. Yeah, they got lucky they got Cade. But they had 4 years of falling out of the top four.
Yeah. We've had this conversation, though, when you are in the position that the Blazers are in, though, the difference between 9, 10, and 6 and 7, it's not being the dregs of the NBA.
No.
Because the reality is, and you've said this all the time, there's no way that this organization would be able to out-tank.
Not what those teams did this
Utah
year.
Washington. New Orleans, Washington.
They weren't. They weren't a 15-win team, man. Like,
yeah, they were not.
Even if you shut the, let's just say that you started the season, you took JGDA and said, "You guys aren't playing this year. Collect your checks, be happy."
Yeah.
If you, even if you just did that, just to start the year, and you're like, "We're going to let Donovan Klingon struggle, and Denny's going to play 35 a night," you would have ended with like 28 wins, which is still. I mean, yeah, it would put you maybe in the 6-7 range, which, again, is a tangible lift.
Yeah.
But when you're taking a look at everything, and look, I thought they'd be in the fifth. That's where I thought they would be.
Yeah.
They were just better. Just flat out better.
Yeah. But there was an opportunity to shut the valve off to give yourself a chance to jump up.
No. And we agree there. Yeah. At the trade deadline, that's the reason I asked the question.
I like Cronin. Been rooting for him since he got the job. I think the big question I have this year, not continuing the tank in a year where you have a generational talent, was that him blinking or ownership saying, no, we are done? If he blinked, I don't feel good about the extension. Got to stay the course. Tired of a mediocre team. Been following him since 90. Want a shot at a chip. I agree. I think a lot of people agree with that.
I don't think he blinked.
No. The big move's got to be done, though, and he's in control now. He's got to make sure that he's the one that can pull that thing off.
Yeah, it's, again, May 12th, and we'll probably do some show somewhere. it sucks, but that, like, it's, again, it's such a massive decider for which path they end up going down.
National championship in college hoops is tonight. We got Houston, Florida. That's because the Duke Blue Devils blew a 14-point lead. Let's recap the Final Four action and give you a look at what's up ahead tonight down in San Antonio. A hell of a weekend of basketball in San Antonio. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.